We're going to get started, and I want to, this is such an hello. You all are challenging them to a battle of the first question is. So my name's Athena Jackson, and I'm really, really honored and happy to say that I'm the chair of the section, and doubly so because I'm rolling off and turning into past chair because this has been quite a year. And I'm really happy that you're here. If you read the program, this goes until 5:30, but I made my one and only executive decision that to give you all some time to get ready for tonight. We're going to wrap up around 5:15, if that works for everyone. So you go out to your room, do what you got to do, bling it up, and let's go have some fun at Xavier. But please do not forget to get on that bus, because I'm taking names. What I would like to do with my colleagues here is the program said that we would tell you our RVMS stories, which could get pretty long. So what I'd like to do, and I'll start in model brevity for the first time in my life, we'll talk about what our role is on exec and what we do, and then maybe one or two committees we served on that have, are you listening, Liz and Elizabeth? Uh-huh. Elizabeth, you need to go take care of the other Elizabeths. Haven is an Elizabeth too. What I was saying is you will talk about your role, and then also maybe one or two committees you've been on that kind of, you know, that got you over here, that you're proud of some work that you've done or something like that. So I started the section in 2007. The best and most awesome committee that I'm most proud of being on is budget and development. You all thought I was going to say diversity. Budget and development. I think that I learned so much about where your money is where you put your priorities, as Ms. Supple said on a phone call not too long ago. And so if you're interested in being on the Budget and Development Committee, it is not a dry committee, and we have a lot of work to do in with respect to some strategizing and sort of centering our goals as a section. The Budget and Development Committee is going to be super, super important to our successes in the future and how we decide to spend our money. Also, it's the first time I got exposure, because I was on it when I wasn't an administrator, exposure to endowment funding, some of the things that you might want to be interested in if you're thinking about committee service, even if you've been in this section a while and you've always been like, I don't want to do budget and development. It is really an awesome place to learn and get some experience, and I really like that. The other committee I'm really proud of is the Diversity Committee, and I think the work and efforts of the Diversity Committee speak for themselves in this conference. So I will pass this on to my colleague, Shannon. Okay. Okay, that's fine.
Then you'll be next, and then we'll. Okay.
Sorry. Do you want to go, and then we?
I don't know. I'm just kind of excited by the power.
Go power.
Okay. Go power.
My name is Haven Hawley, and I'm currently the secretary for the executive committee, and I have been involved with RBMS, where I've been coming to RBMS since the 15th anniversary that was in Charlottesville. I've been very involved with Rare Book School, and so that was a very meaningful conference because I brought together all of my wonderful communities. And I actually come from scholar going into archives and then rare books, but also with Rare Book School, so it's kind of a hybrid thing, and I've had to kind of dance among many different professional organizations, and I've had to also make some choices about what it is that I'm going to spend my time on, because it does take a little bit of time. But I think it really comes down to, for me, what feeds you. And I find that RBMS is a community that feeds me. And I really like the people very much. I've learned a lot by being a member of the seminars committee and the conference development committee. I've been liaison to the Bibliographical Society of America. And being part of RBMS in these roles has also helped me to provide entry to new colleagues that I think are just tremendous, who just need someone looking in their direction and to say, hey, this could be a good fit for you in terms of service. And so I think one of the most pleasurable things is, as you roll off, to see someone who you've been mentoring roll on. Because as soon as you get into a position, you got to find your way out. but that also means you're put in that position so you can open up a door for someone else. And so that's really just one of the most wonderful things about doing service, is it puts you in a position to help somebody else on their way into the profession. So thanks very much for allowing me to be part of this. And thank you also to Liz for you gave me such great help as I was trying to move into being secretary, and you're very generous about that. And that's I think that's pretty typical, but it's still a wonderful thing. So thank you.
Okay. Athena wants John to go next.
No.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
I'm Shannon Supple. I'm the incoming chair of RBMS. It's very exciting and daunting, especially coming after someone as accomplished and inspiring as Athena Jackson. So really wonderful to learn from her and to learn from all of the people on the executive committee now and in the past. I've learned a ton in my time in RBMS through the people I've met and connections I've made through committee work and just, you know, talking around coffee or anything else at these conferences, online, on Twitter. Some of you know I'm a big fan of Twitter, so is this guy over here. I'm really grateful. I started out in RBMS in 2006, so that was a long time ago. I've been to a bunch, and they're all wonderful, and it's amazing to see, this year in particular, to see the sort of the broad range of humanity that I'm seeing. I think there's a more palpable sense of diverse voices and experiences I'm seeing and talking to this year, and I'm really grateful to Petrina and Athena and all of their team to bring people here to create this wonderful program, to bring us all here. I've learned from so many people in RBMS. It's really felt like my home, professional home, for a long time, and I'm really excited to join the executive committee, to become chair. Like I said, it's daunting, but it's exciting. There's a lot of work that needs to get done, even though there's been a ton of wonderful work that we've done. Up till now, there's always more to do, and I really look forward to hearing from all of you about what your priorities are, sharing my thoughts and priorities, and just really activating us in a more active way, so we're not... I feel like we've been passive in a lot of ways outside of the conference context, and I think we need to be more of an active profession engaging with each other beyond the conference context. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to keep blathering, so instead I'm going to just give this mic to John.
The power of the mic. That's okay. Hi. I'm going to make you talk in a minute.
Hi, I'm John Everholt, and I am this year the past chair of the section. So election to the chair is vice chair, chair, and past chair. So my first RBMS, I want to say, was about 2003, and I was very fortunate to have someone, my boss at the Ransom Center, John Thomas, was an active member of the section for many years and really helped introduce me to the section and to the folks in the section and the ways that I could serve in the section. My first role was as one of the co-conveners of the what was then the MARC for Special Collections Discussion Group, now Technical Services Discussion Group. And that was a really great introduction to what RBMS does and to great colleagues from around the country. I think those discussion groups are some of the most productive things that we do at every annual in midwinter. I also served in 2010 as the program chair for what was then the pre-conference in Philadelphia. And that was
join or die.
Join or die was our slogan. and that was a lot of work, but an extremely satisfying experience, and I was really pleased with how that conference turned out. And so I wanted to ask two things of the folks here today that relate to two of those things. So I have one final responsibility after my term as past chair ends, which is to be chair of the nominating committee. That committee helps select the candidates for office for the next cycle of elections, which will be in the spring of 2019, for the offices that are represented here. So if you are somebody who has some experience in the section, maybe has been a committee chair or a very active member over the course of years, and if you think you might be interested in serving the section as an elected officer, I very much want to hear from you. It used to be the case that the nominating committee chair would just sort of reach out and tap people and say, you have been chosen to run. But a few years ago, we decided to have a much more open process where people could nominate themselves to indicate their interest in serving. And I think that's made these roles more accessible to a broader range of candidates, and I think that's healthy for the section. So please get in touch with me if you think that's something you might be interested in. The other thing I want to mention is, so I was lucky to have somebody who really introduced me to RBMS and introduced me to, you know, the members that he thought I should be in touch with. And that was important because I, very much at that time, and I hope it's not as much at least the case today, RBMS had a reputation of being very cliquish and hard to be a new member in. And I feel like we've made a lot of efforts in the direction of becoming more welcoming and more open to our new members. But I'm interested in hearing from people who are at their first or second RBMS conference if they feel like that's the case and if there are other things the section can do to improve the experience for new attendees.
That's good. My name's Liz Call, and I'm one of the three member at larges. I don't know if I should, am I responsible to explain what member at large?
Go for it. You have to do it in a cappella together.
Oh, okay. No, so I think the way it goes is that there's like two, three of us, and we roll on and off. Actually, Beth, I'm going to leave it for Beth to explain that. Is that okay?
Thanks.
Okay. So a little bit about my story. So this is actually my 10th year in a row coming to RBMS. My first one was in 2008, and I know that because I just moved recently. Everybody keeps hearing that. It's very exciting. I move a lot, but I came across the first RBMS pamphlet that said 2008, and it was the UVA, the 50th anniversary, right? And I'll admit, it was really hard. I was really uncomfortable. It was very awkward for me. I was paying my own way. I worked at a historical society that had no funding. So I felt a little bit like a chump because I knew everybody else was getting reimbursed. I felt like, I'm just being honest, you know, it was very hard. And I have to say, to kind of echo something that John said, it has gotten a lot better, but it could be also that I'm just more comfortable. Like I said, this is my 10th year. I kind of know like the navigation. I kind of know folks. Because one thing I did do, I was like, okay, this is super uncomfortable, so I'm going to join everything. I'm going to also make sure that I don't pay all this money just to go to one meeting. I'm going to all meetings. So I became like, I called myself Napoleon Dynamite. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that movie. Like the guy who joined all the clubs and wasn't good at anything. So anyway, no, I'm not trying to be like, it just felt like that. So I first joined publications, which I don't know if that's still called that, but I joined publications, and actually a person who really, one person was super, just took pity on me. He saw me by myself, Jason Cavari. He's not here right now, but he's over at Cornell, and he's like forever going to be like my patron saint because he saw me all by myself, and he was like, oh, you're lonely. And then we talked, and he really kind of was like, you should join publications. And I was like, oh, I'm intimidated. I don't really know. And he's like, no, seriously, just join. Just volunteer. And so that was sort of like my entry point. And since then, though, I mean, the amount of work that this RBMS has done for new members and the mixers and just kind of really, I don't know, it's really great in the buddy system. But if anybody ever feels uncomfortable, like definitely, like it'd be great to know what ways we can make it more comfortable. But I have heard that RBMS is way more like welcoming than some other, I think, annual conferences. So I really appreciate that. So I joined publications. I was on seminars. I was on the exhibits committee, which I actually was awesome because you actually have something to do. I was a little bit like at publications, so I didn't really know what I was doing, but exhibits, you had a job, and that was to like kind of judge exhibits, and I learned a lot. And then I don't remember what else. I'm sorry, it's been a long, that's a long week. And now I'm on executive, and it's been really good. I mean, there's been a lot of discussions, and things are hard. I mean, we're going to be reviewing things, and I think it's very exciting under new leadership. But the leadership is only 1 year, right? So I think that's also part of it. It's like you come in, and you're like, okay, we're going to do this. But this is a volunteer position, right? And we have our full-time jobs and our lives, and so it's a lot of work. So I commend everybody who is on committees and keeps volunteering. But we do need the new energy and constantly... Maybe I need to take a step back and new people need to come up on because, you know. Yep.
I'm done. Somebody else.
You very sure?
Yeah, I'm done.
Hi, y'all. Welcome to New Orleans. I'm a native, so I can say that. I'm hoping everybody's having a good time. Yeah? Have you been out of the hotel? If you haven't, you need to change that. All right. So I'm the third year member at large. It's like the best role ever. Because I'm getting ready to have that quality of life thing. But first of all, I just want to commend my group here. What a great group it's been, and the chairs prior to this, John, Arvid, Cherry. I mean, it's been a mentorship for me, and so I want to say that. And I'm going to keep this brief. I don't think I can explain the member-at-large role. There's three of us. We each have responsibilities for certain committees and attend those meetings and bring information back to exec and exchange that back and forth. We do info exchange. This will be Liz's next year. Yeah, and in Haven after that. It's been a real pleasure. I think I presented at RBMS before I became involved. I blame Athena for getting me involved, and I've served in a number of committees, starting with diversity, which was a real pleasure. And I want to say thank you to Athena and the other folks that have been involved. I've seen RBMS change dramatically in the few years that I've been involved here, and I think it's a very different organization, and it's a great organization. I'm very excited about the future and where we're going as a group, and it's been an honor to be a small part of that. I think the other contribution, minor as it may be, that I've made is really around programming, and I think that's another area that... Stop crying. Oh, God. So it's an area where I think we can really put some thought into what we think about ourselves as an organization and what we put out to new members. And so it's been a real pleasure to see that change. I mean, I think you saw that in the plenary sessions today and the plenary sessions that we're going to see. So kudos to my colleagues here and to all of you in the room. Get involved.
Thank you so much, everyone. How many of you had a plenary? How many of you first time here? Let me just see a show of hands. And then just everyone in the room, including sitting here, how many of you were at some of the plenaries now or in the past, and it was time for Q&A, and you're like, oh, no, I am not walking in front of all these people up to that microphone to ask my question. Not going to happen. I did that my very first. I didn't go to the microphone till 2 years. I never, ever asked a lot of questions, and everybody here that knows me knows that, but I never was brave enough to get up at a plenary and talk. And there's somebody in this room, and I watched her get up and ask a question, and that was Marilee Prophet. And because Marilee, who's right there, who, if you've ever heard her ask a question, it's like both a question and a call and a charge to think differently about what you said in such a beautiful, not in an indicting kind of way, it's just a great thing. And when I saw her ask that question, and I was, you know, I said, oh, if she can do that. She's so nice. And nobody tripped her when she was walking back. And so there's other people in our section that you may not know that have inspired in many of us. And seeing so many of you here, I just want you to feel like you can always ask a question. You paid to be here, so you have truly bought the ticket to do whatever and ask whatever you want. No one has paid more to ask more questions. So please always ask them. And just two more things I wanted to mention. I was really inspired by our earliest plenary speaker talking about paradigm shifts. And I think that our field is going through a very, very big paradigm shift. And I think our sister field at SAA is going through a very, very big paradigm shift. And I, And I would love to be proven wrong and be told that this statement is a fiction, but there is an assault on intellectual inquiry right now. Wherever you sit in the lens of intellectual inquiry, thoughtful engagement, notwithstanding, it's an assault on engagement and dialogue. And for those of us who are, I like the phrase, cultural workers that I heard today, then it's an assault on our ethos and our drive and, frankly, our future. So I hope that you have felt inspired, and I hope you realize, and I want to say this because we just had our RBMSAA conversation, and there was a lot of questions about, like, hey, you know, I always thought there was going to be more about books, and I really thought this, I really thought that, and, you know, I had to explain, you know, where, as a section chair and with working with Petrina, what we wanted to do with this conference, what's going to happen next year with the environment, which is so critical and so important. I'm so glad that Shannon's taking this on. What John did with his conference and many years ago. And I want you to know that these conferences are born from what happens after this conference, which is our meetings. So we have committee meetings starting on Friday. So all of a sudden, we're not flashy. We're all, like, in jeans, and we're just like, oh, I'm so tired. Now it's time to go out and drink, you know, this thing. Not that I haven't gone out to drink. But but it's really time. And then but what I'd like to say about these committees and the work they do, discussion groups, task forces, members at large, it's from those really critical conversations that the spirit of the conference of that year happens. So if you may not have seen yourself last year and you're seeing yourself more this year, or maybe next year looks completely different, it really is a response to the integral professional work we're committed to with all of our communities of practice. So if it's just the conference that you come to, welcome, we're happy you're here. But I wanted you to know this is part of a broader conversation that happens all the way till Monday afternoon. And for those of you who work on the conference or work on a committee that works for the conference, think of this as we're a camp, and then all the camp counselors get together and think about next year's camp. You know, that's really how I've thought about it. And then while that's happening, there's the other group that's working on the health of the section as well as the future of our profession. So we still do, I cut my teeth in books. I'm not trying to dismantle books. I am trying to dismantle the systems and the assumptions of how we study, period, format agnostic, how we study, how we think, and how we look at history. That's what I'm working on. But I would be doing myself a disservice to dismantle books because I actually love them. And if you worked for me, you know how to get me not frustrated by bringing me a new book that you bought. And it's like a magpie. I'm like, ooh, and then what it did. But that's something that I want to make clear, that this is not a moment, a paradigm shift to forget the past. It's a paradigm shift to have an awareness that we have to start thinking about the past differently because we are intelligent enough and aware enough that there's been a lot of disservice done to history. And we're trying to remedy it. That's a tall order. And in 2045, when the future Shannon is sitting here, she's going to talk about, like, in 2018, man, they were doing all this weird stuff that they didn't even know what was happening. What is going on? So this is a healthy thing. So if you're feeling like, wow, what are they talking about? Or what does this mean to me? Or do I fit here? You do. You totally fit here. If you have my dream job, which is the curator of the Johnson Collection at Harvard,
For example,
unfortunately, we're too close in age that I can't wait for him to retire. but I have, you know, contemplating, you know, putting a hood over his head and dragging him to a closet, but that's okay. But if you have that job, or you're the archivist doing oral histories with compromised communities, trying to give them a sense of belonging, you're doing the same work. We're all doing the same work. John's doing it, this person's doing it, I'm doing it. And that's why we're sitting here today. So teary-eyed, notwithstanding, I'm really, really, I hope that I will always be a part of your future. And I will, I promise. I'm kind of bittersweet, sad right now, because I I'm convinced Adrian to move here, but no, he's not doing that. But anyway, I want to start opening the floor up to your questions. But before I do, there are some chairs in this room, committee chairs. Could you please raise your hand if you are currently a chair of a committee? right now. Oh, there. What? Okay, Curtis. There's Curtis Small. You want to yell out your chair, your committee?
Chair of Diversity Committee.
Great. Ooh. Chair of Diversity Committee. Thank you. Sarah Logue?
I'm a co-chair of the Security Committee.
Sarah Logue is a co-chair of Security Committee. And back there,
Michael.
Linda,
I'm the other
co-chair. Sorry, Michael. Other co-chair of the Security Committee, huh?
I feel very secure.
Kim Tully?
Membership and professional
development co-chair, and Charlotte Priddle is my co-chair. Anyone else in here? Great. And we also have some people in the room who are work in organizations that are affinity organizations like Rare Book School. We have people from Rare Book School, like the amazing and talented. Do you want to introduce yourself, please?
Oh,
please.
Barbara.
This is Barbara and Ruth.
Barbara Heritage.
Ruth
Ellen St. Olge.
Ruth. Ellen St. Olge. And they represent Rare Book School, have been really active members. Mary Lee Prophet works with OCLC and has been my inspiration to ask hard questions. So on that note, please ask us some hard questions. And if you have any questions about what's next, I will yield that to our incoming chair, Ms. Shanna Sutton. So go for it. Who's got a question? Bernie. Name and that's it. You don't have to say
should I carry mics?
Yeah.
Do we
volunteer to carry? Go for it.
Hi, I'm Lynn Thomas, University of Illinois. I have a question that is related to a previous experience in RBMS. I had the pleasure of co-chairing the seminars committee a while back with Shannon Supple, and at that point the section was just figuring out remote committee work. And we were a test case because I didn't have institutional funding to actually attend in person. And I wanted to ask exec, because I haven't had funding, I haven't been active. So I would like an update on how RBMS has continued to push forward the ability of people to contribute to the section remotely when they can't necessarily attend in person. And if we haven't, then how are we going to do that more?
Yeah, thank you, Lynn. So one of the things that we've, I think, found challenging is working within the ALA bureaucracy, the American Library Association bureaucracy, because we're, it's the American Library Association, and then under that, the ACRL, the Association of College and Research Libraries, and then under that is RBMS. So there's been a push for a long time. At ALA, we have people who want to be active and they can't come to the conferences for whatever reason. How can we include them in these conversations? And I think there was a long time when they weren't giving us that support of virtual meetings and remote sort of call-in opportunities. And I think that's improved, but it's also a weird situation. So here's something I find very strange. Athena, as the chair of the section, has to schedule all of the RBMS committee meetings at ALA Midwinter and ALA Annual. I feel like that's kind of a waste of our chair's time and energy when we have staff of ALA and ACRL who should be doing that. But anyway, so one of the jobs that she has there is she has to request special AV for everything. So we do our best to say we want AV and we want AV support, we want call-in Skype kit support, and sometimes they give it to us and sometimes they don't. And
sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
So that's been a challenge. One of the things that I think was going on for a long time, and I remember it sort of dawned on us, I think, in the membership and professional development committee, and Kim, I don't know if you were chair at that time. You might have been. It might have been before. But I remember there was a conversation in which Tori Andrela, one of our ACRL representatives who helps us coordinate this conference, was there, and someone was saying, well, I want to participate, but I usually can't come to these conferences. And everyone was saying, well, you have to come to ALA Midwinter and Annual if you want to be a member of a committee. And Tori said, no, you don't. And we all kind of said, Really? We don't? Because we had been hearing that, and I don't know how wires got crossed. But at that point forward, we've been really able to emphasize that you don't need to attend ALA to be a committee member. You do need to commit to coming if you're a committee chair. So
and a member of exec.
And a member of exec. A member of exec really should be coming to ALA. Except for midwinter when you're Athena and you live in Copenhagen. So this is something that we've been pushing more recently to encourage people to join committees, whether or not they can come to ALA. You can get work done outside of coming to these conferences, and we've been so focused on everything we do at a conference, and then we suddenly like ghost each other during the rest of the year. I think that's a problem. We need to stop doing that. But we also get a lot of work done in between conferences. You don't need to attend ALA to be effective as a committee member. So I think we really need to emphasize that more and more, especially because we previously had wrong information that we were sharing across the membership.
I have a quick follow-up question to that. I appreciate the sentiment, and it's fantastic, but I have several friends who are interested in rare books who have no involvement with RBMS because they have no means to, and nothing you said is anything I could take back to them and say, this is a way you can get involved tomorrow. So do we have any ideas for things that we're actually going to do as opposed to just talking about, not to sort of put you in the hot seat, but like you said, I fully expect to leave at the end of this week and then honestly probably not talk or see to 90% of you again until midwinter, which is a massive bummer. So it would be nice if we could figure out ways to open channels of communication in the meantime. I know that the listserv is rightfully so in many cases reserved for like strict business, and there should probably be a channel reserved for strict business, but any other means of like involving with each other, or do we have plans to pursue that? Could you talk a little bit about like concrete plans?
Well, I was going to sort of talk about the technical stuff, but if you have a
I'm trying to unpack your question because I don't know what I can give, and I mean not I what we do. You don't have to be a dues paying member to follow things, and you're saying, can there be more things for us to follow to be engaged with this community if we're not a dues-paying member but have interest in what RBMS is up to throughout the year and to keep the... Or for dues-paying members, too. But I'm sorry, you said means, and I wanted to make sure I captured that, too. So if someone doesn't have means, how could they be involved? But also, if they have membership, blah, blah, blah. One of the things that I think that we... It's been a perennial question about what the heck do we do with this listserv in these times. And I also am personally, without exec chair hat on, a staunch opponent to saying, oh, just use Ex Libris, because that's not our listserv, and it's not my listserv, because I don't subscribe to that. I can tell you that over a drink someday why I don't. But I will say that we do want to figure out that communication chain, and I hope that we can take, what I'm saying is we're taking your requests right now, you hear this, and we need to come together and make some action items out of it. And I don't know if Shannon wants to speak to maybe some inchoate ideas you might have right now.
Sure. So one of the questions that a lot of people have been raising, including Heather Smedberg, who's our other member at large, who's not here right now, and Ann Beatty, who are the co-chairs of the Instruction and Outreach Committee. They've been asking for actually years, like, can we have some kind of subject-oriented listservs for like outreach and instruction, for exhibitions, for, you know, sort of targeted listservs. And I think we need to do that. It's something that we've been maybe pondering, but we need to actually actively engage. Melanie Myers and a few other people got together and created a Slack channel for public services, but it's not really part of RBMS. They're doing this because, you know, we need more communication outlets. So I think we need to look more broadly at the communication. One thing that I've always found weird, I'm sort of on the public services side of things, is that our colleagues in the Bibliographic Standards Committee do have their own listserv. and those of us in the public side don't. And we're like, why can they have one and we can't have one? And it's not an us versus them. It's sort of like, we've done this before. We have a precedent. Why can't we create other ones so that people who are interested in various things can participate and follow along in various work that we do? So I think we need to be much more willing to just jump in and start these things and make sure that people have outlets and ways to share and ask questions.
Good question. So I just wanted to say one thing a little further to Lynn's question, which was that my experience of doing the meeting scheduling as chair was that ALA was very accommodating for the requests for the equipment for people to Skype in or whatever the actual technical mechanism was, but that it didn't always work great in practice. And I see in the meetings that I go to a lot of offline workarounds, like, you know, people holding up a phone to the microphone or something like that, because sometimes it's been clunky. And as Shannon said, we've got to submit those requests way in advance. The scheduling for this annual, I think, happened back in February. So that makes it a little difficult to sort of be flexible about, you know, knowing when somebody's going to want to participate virtually. So it is not a solved problem. I do feel like the will is there at the ALA level to support that, and the will is definitely present here in the section. I was at orientation to this conference, and I was pleased to hear, I think, Kim say in her introduction that, you know, the statement about you definitely don't have to be physically present at a meeting to be a member of a committee. And we just need to keep getting that message out, because that is definitely a value of the section, that kind of participation is possible and encouraged.
Go ahead.
Sorry, just quick question. John, so if I, for example, as the chair for ALA Midwinter, requested Skype kits or whatever they're calling them these days for every single committee, would that be something I could do just in advance without even knowing if they would want it or not? Or is that an issue?
I haven't seen any indication that they would push back on that, but I didn't do it for every single one, so I haven't tested it. I probably wouldn't do it for the discussion groups, because I don't think be practical. But
I think for the pushback, first, this, I want to caveat that we're not angry at ALA for these kinds of things. These are just practical, resource-heavy kinds of decisions. But I will say that ALA is kind of thinking about its footprint at conferences right now, too. And so, for example, it has been maybe some of the latitudes that John had, even transferring to me, I had a little bit tighter demands insofar as a lot of my meetings that when they request an hour and a half, I could only give them an hour. And I'm finally thinking we can get to the hour and a half, so I know that our instruction committee will be in safe hands with Shannon, because I made a case for why that needs to be. But there's just a practical and realistic reflection that ALA is doing on its bandwidth at midwinter primarily, too, but also what are we doing at ALA. And there has been some mixed signals about what is something they're just thinking about and what is something they're going to execute. And when that happens, it can put someone like me getting excited at an exec meeting. I think my getting excited kept them from coming to take some of our stuff away. But I do think that we are a very, very strong section. We make money for our section. We don't need to get a lot from ALA. We do, but we are a very healthy section. But we also are conscious of and respectful of those parts of ALA where they don't have a lot of money and they don't have a lot of capacity, like RBMS. So I don't want them to make decisions just for the healthiest sections. I think they need to make decisions for the communities and what they need. And I think we need better communication. We need to be able to communicate during our meetings. I'm sorry, Cecily.
No,
Apologies. I'm Cecily Marcus, University of Minnesota. So this is my first RBMS, and I'm not a like young, right out of library school person. You know, I should know how to navigate these things. Even though I never went to library school, maybe that would have helped. But you have a lot of committees. I was just looking online because I have no idea what the security committee is or does. And you have a lot of description even within all of those links to understand what each committee is. So if there is openness and a need for new people to get involved, perhaps one suggestion to consider would be, you've got this conference is really well organized. You have these long breaks in between. You're giving snacks to people. They come to get those snacks. Have a poster session for each committee. And if you don't have a current member there, have a former member to, talk about what the committee is. People can give you their email if they're interested, and maybe you never see them again, but it would be a way to really spread the word about what you're doing, what you need done.
So we do actually have something that's similar to that. So on the first day of the conference on Tuesday, we had an orientation session where we sort of talked a little bit about the overall structure of RBMS, and then there was an opportunity for each of the committee chairs. It's called a speed dating session, so the attendees at orientation can go and talk to a committee chair for 3 minutes about what that particular committee is about, and then rotate on to talk to. So I did that for nominating, and I thought it was a really successful experience at talking to new members and sort of orienting them toward what I do and what the other committees are involved in.
And I've been thinking, so the speed dating, but also one thing we were talking about we haven't had a chance to do execute was doing like some kind of town hall, like conference call or something where the member at large is are kind of like hosting it. But one idea what your question was making me think about, sorry, I don't mean it like that, was that one thing I think it's tricky is like, okay, we know all the descriptions of these committees. How about having a town hall right before the volunteer form is due, but also how to navigate that. So, you can drop your name in, but understanding what happens once you drop your name in. So it's different. It's different for ALA and it's different for RBMS. So for RBMS, I believe when you drop your name in, the chair funnels that to funnels it to the committee chairs, correct? And so you get a list of people. ALA, it's totally different. And the ALA, it's like actual president of ALA, the elected president who makes the decisions on the committee chair. So I think there's some unclear clarity because it is different in every national organization. So understanding how that channel goes, and then also knowing like some tips. Like if you're interested in a committee, maybe you drop an email to the committee chair and say, hey, this is my situation. I don't come to the annual, but I do want to be an active participant. So I wonder if a town hall setup would be kind of useful in that way.
I was just going to say, one of the other areas that this happens is info exchange, and I'm really curious, for those who've attended, how effective you think this is for the organization. It is a place where all the committees report out, and if they're involved in initiatives, they're explaining where the progress is and the business of those committees, and so it does happen in another area, too. It is often rushed. It's a huge amount of information that happens in a very short period of time, so I don't know if anybody's got thoughts about if there's a better way to do that. That would be helpful, too.
It's at ALA, it's not dark. That's right.
And it's late at ALA. Yeah. It's the last thing.
Well, so maybe that's the input. But maybe that's the input we're getting, yep. And then maybe it needs to be part of our business. But of course, the meetings come in.
Yep. It's a big finger, bridge tapestry.
I just have a really quick question. Why aren't we using ALA Connect for virtual stuff?
Because it's the organizational technology, and we're part of a much larger system. But that is a very good question.
Yep.
I mean, but we're part of it.
Yeah.
Why are we using?
Why are we not using ALA Connect for?
We do use it, but it is currently in transition. We have used it, but ALA Connect is currently transitioning to a new technology, so it may be being called different things. However, because of the blockages in ALA Connect to how we actually want to function, we're starting to see seepage. Other people are using different technologies like Slack channels and other things, and we're trying to figure out how to be with people where they need us to be, but also be consistent in the technology.
I will say that with all of my frustration to the security chair, co-chairs, we had to do our election, our official vote to vote the new proposed guidelines for security through SurveyMonkey, because a lot of the technology in ALA Connect is not fully functional. So sadly, I mean, it's captured, but it's not captured. Like, that's a hard thing when you think about our section's archivist. It sounds sort of like, oh yeah, they renewed it, but that they renewed security in 2018 could mean something a lot to people, you know, 10 years from now. We're not capped. So we need to get this fixed for our own legacy. But yeah, it's ALA Connect is a little broken. And I did want to say that at ALA Annual, I do not know the date, is the, I don't know if it's a, I don't know the name of the bringing together forum or something, on looking at the governance of ALA and structure. And I'm looking very closely at what ALA is thinking about its governance and structure, because I know that my colleague sitting next to me will say that we would stand very firm that we're not going to be called a special interest group for special collections. And for the really important reason, I know many of you represent other types of institutions, and I respect that, but because we're with academic libraries, I'm just going to speak directly to those of you in academic settings. A lot of us are getting tenure, and if you think that your peers across a university in the English and History department are going to accept that you are in the bloody, you know, the security discussion group as a term of service, then ALA is really hitting us hard if they did something like that. So I'm very much looking at that. I hope that if any of you are going to ALA and you want to go, I don't know if I can because we have our meetings, but rest assured, I'm watching it. I'm watching it pretty hard, and actually, I know they know I'm watching it, because for the first time at our last exec meeting, someone from ACRL board stayed for the whole meeting because they knew I was like, and then they said this, and they said this. And usually they just come for like 5 minutes to say hi, but like Athena's like trying to do something. We need to go and watch her, which I'm totally like trying to be mysterious. But the point is, ALA is looking at its own governance structure, and that will affect our VMS, and we need to be ready for that and pounce. So
I think there's four different sessions.
Yeah.
Not just one.
Thank you. Any question?
Oh, I just want to add something. To continue on. Oh, Jessica Pigza, UC Santa Cruz, with the town hall idea. I think that for me, one of the things that was unclear when I started to get involved in committees was which committees had active work that happened between meetings, and also which committees could you be part of and fully participate if you couldn't go. So if that information could be communicated either at a town hall or in advanced descriptions of the committee work, it could help people like your friends who won't necessarily be able to go to meetings annually in midwinter, but do want to get involved so they could know what committees to think about finding out if they could have a space on.
There are two things that are happening with that right now, and then Sarah. Number one is during my one flash year, as Liz rightly said, I tried to lay some groundwork for developing a strategy, a strategic plan, whatever, a platform for RBMS. I learned that Danish academic libraries don't use the word strategic plan. They use platform. So our platform, platform for us, the street, and what is our strategy? And one of the things I did was reach out to all the chairs and say, hey, give me your thoughts. What do you think? Because there's something I think I don't want us to be such a busy and active and very vested in our career section. It would be great if diversity knew what the new instruction group, some of their goals were, so that we can start finding goals across all of our committee work. And then I alluded to this earlier, that then influences how we're going to devote budget funds. So there are some opportunities for us to, and hopefully Shannon and then Veronica Reyes Escudero will take this on and bring it further. The second thing I wanted to mention is, another thing about like our identity as a section. This was brought up to me, and she said that I can mention this by Meredith Evans, who sits, and I'm so happy that we have people here that have worked with RBM in the room, because Meredith Evans, as I sit on your, she's one of the editorial board members of RBM.
Can you say what RBM is?
I'm sorry, the Rare Books Manual. Please don't quiz me.
No, just tell.
Oh, the journal. Oh, okay, because I thought you meant. Rare Books, it's a journal publication, and she wondered why our very successful conferences don't just naturally fall into really good publications in the next journal, and why doesn't the journal have a really strong presence at the conference with examples of what's out there, with bringing that opportunity to publish into that arena, so that we can really connect those dots. It's an ACRL publication, but it is supposedly our journal. It's our American Archivist for SAA to think of analogy. There was someone over here, and then it'll be Robin. Go ahead.
Just to follow up on what Athena was saying, so I've already shared this with the executive committee. I haven't shared my goals with the committee chairs more broadly, and I'm going to do that at the end of the executive committee meeting on Monday, and then go forward from there. But one of the things I did is that Athena requested strategic planning from the different committees, and I think we need a little bit more structure around that. So I created a template with an action plan that actually can help guide the committees in making this into a real document for all of our committees, including the executive committee. So I'm not going to ask our committees to do anything that the executive committee is not going to do. And I think that with a goal toward getting those done and submitted to the executive committee by before ALA midwinter, so that we can really start having a real conversation about what we do and what we need, what our charge says, what our manual says, if that's accurate, what are we actually doing, and sharing more broadly across committees. So this is in process, and we are working on it. It's just, it's a little slower than we might like, but we're going to get there.
Volunteer organization.
Yes, we're all volunteers, and we have human bodies that require sleep and food.
Barbara, and then Robin. I apologize, Robin.
Great. So thanks for having this session. It's so great to have an opportunity to have a conversation around some of these questions, and it's just lovely to be able to ask questions like this. So my question is has to do with something that was brought up earlier as part of the introductory portion of the session, and that has to do with cliquishness. And I was wondering, in terms of new members who are joining the section, is there any way that's, and this is a question about how programming is designed, is data being collected on who's presenting, how often, and if new members are presenting? I'm just curious if new members, how long it takes for people to start presenting or submitting papers, and I'm wondering if that's being tracked, and often as well as whether people who are more senior are presenting and at what rate. It's really a question, I guess, about the capacity to measure that and kind of measure who's being heard and if new voices are being heard. I know it's a volunteer organization and said there's probably limits on what people have time to do. But asking about checks and balances in terms of like that.
We have you all fill out a conference survey. But we actually have evidence. I don't know if the data has been collected. Period. But that doesn't mean we can't do it. And it's a request that you're asking to this group to take into consideration. And you're right, time and energy, resources. But Tori would have a lot of things that we can. I have this marvelous like wisdom owl sitting on my shoulder telling me. But the other thing, and maybe you're channeling what some of the questions we got at SAA, which is the RBMSAA conversation, which was, is there a way that we can kind of look at some of the successes of SAA's convening where they are able, the audience can vote and on certain kinds of topics that could be addressed at the conference in a more responsive to audience participation needs. I'm glad Meredith is there because she said even that mileage varies by SAA conference to SAA conference. Sometimes they don't get a lot of that, or sometimes it's really hard to program because the questions that come in are like, wow, you're asking for like a keynote, not a dialogue. So you're right. So yes, we need to get the data. And then the other big question we got, which I think you're getting to, is I feel like we give a lot of space for polished kind of results type of things, but we're not giving a lot of space to the messy in-between risks and things that have happened. I think they're coming, you know, bit by bit, but and I certainly saw them at this conference and the last ones. But where I'm going to is that when I go home to my institution, I'm part of this group called the Academic Leadership Forum, where all the deans and associate deans and department heads go to, and they have a big problem with succession, right? How are we going to fill all these positions? And we have a big problem of identifying what the needs of our mid-career people as well. That's like a big thing that I'm thinking about. So are we serving our mid-career and even our early career? Are we doing that enough of that? So good question.
And just to clarify, not necessarily assuming that everyone who's joining is early career or doesn't have polished
right.
work.
Yes, right.
And I'm really glad that you asked that. Because both the questions that Cecily and Barbara asked really have to deal with succession management, because succession management isn't what happens here. It's how we recruit people and allow them to enter and encourage them to enter. And it's a part of a continuum, and we need to do a better job of that. I was very oddly on the program 4 times, and that was really uncomfortable for me. I didn't realize quite what was happening. I organized a panel because I'm on a task force. We needed to do a presentation, and I got listed as a presenter, and I'm like, not me, you know. But I did that, and so I did that content. I organized a seminar about a program I cared very deeply about to bring people together, including some of my own people who work with me at University of Florida and a junior person on the panel wasn't able to come. And instead of really putting more effort into looking for another junior person to be on the panel, I just did it myself because it was easy, and I shouldn't have done that. I really should have I should have been more thoughtful, you know, and so you're giving me an opportunity to tell you what we can do better.
Is the information available?
That's the thing is what I'm really understanding is having a structure, and I was on a panel because there is I do special and area studies, and there really aren't very many people who are administrators in this field. But did we have to have all administrators? Could we have had just someone who's not an administrator and had? I mean, I've been really thinking about this since you're giving me a great opportunity to tell you guys. Your questions really help us figure out how to do it better, and I see that I need to be part of figuring out routes for like people who aren't the most senior in their field. You know, we need to have a junior person on every panel, and let them challenge us.
Or a new,
yes, like, yeah, and maybe there's a way that, you know, and that raises the question that you were raising about how do we have that getting involved, and that's also I think a communication issue, and so I want to work on that. And thank you, you know, because like you guys like kind of raised this same thing about we're insufficient in our structure, and we need to be really thoughtful about inclusion of people who have new ideas. And I mean, you're the next person sitting here. So, you know,
can we have John respond? And Robin, you're right after John, I promise.
So I just wanted to say, Kim, I'm going to call on you for a second. We have a potential avenue to approach that question, which is that MNPD did a couple of years ago a survey of the membership, and I wonder, and I know you know you're thinking about doing that on a more regular basis in the future, and I wonder if we might ask people, you know, in the context of how long they've been a member of the section, what opportunities they've had to participate in the work of the section, and that might give us a way to sort of take the temperature of more junior members getting to participate.
I think that there's awareness of this at a number of levels. There's a couple of participatory sessions that are coming up. One is, I'm sure everybody will get up at 8:30 to hear this, but it's so you want to be a moderator, and I think it's an understanding that often the moderator role is a way to break into programming early, but also if you're new to a community like RBMS. So I'm not quite sure what we're going to do, but we're going to talk a little bit about conference planning and how that works. And I think there's another participatory session around conference planning that Ben Goldman is doing. Is that right?
That's right.
It's right now. It's occurring right now. So I guess the idea is that there's an understanding that there needs to be to sort of demystify how conference planning happens, and it happens in a way to get into programming. So the moderator role is a role that I think for people who are new to the profession particularly, but not always that case, can conceive of a session, put it together, you know, get it into the mix and perhaps provide some leadership around that. So
I also want to note that the call for proposals for the RBMS 2019 conference is open right now, so I encourage all of you to consider proposing something, especially if you're a junior professional or a newer member of RBMS or not a member of RBMS. We really want to hear from you. This is an opportunity to propose a session, a topic, a poster, anything.
Robin?
Hi, hello. I'm Robin. I work at UC Riverside. I actually have a lot of things to say now because we've talked about so much, so I'll be quick. A quick thought is, I think you're not the only one, Haven, who like is on the program multiple times, and I think probably more than twice is too much for anyone. I don't know that like a junior person has to be on every single panel, but like across the program we should have breadth. We should not model SAA's conference planning in many ways.
I was just thinking it's successes.
Sorry. One of the big problems with SAA is that it is overwhelming and there's overlapping programs.
RBMS understand.
It's like very clear, there's this block, now we all have a break and we can actually talk to each other. It's a huge success of RBMS.
I'm proud of that.
Some successes
that we could look at.
For sure.
Proposing papers, for example, if you have an idea and someone else, and that could just be the panel
matched,
as opposed to like having to have a full-fledged panel just to have presence, I think is a really great idea.
Totally. I'll say it again. Seminars is a weird legacy that's like separate from the rest of conference planning. Doesn't make sense. I'll just leave that there.
I do have a comment around that. So that was created specifically because of the themes of the conference, and they wanted to have a space in which topics could be cultivated and turned into programming that had nothing to do with
the theme.
So that everybody felt like they had a space to participate.
It's always separate.
But this year, for the first time, as far as I know, the first time in a long time, our call for proposals is one. There's one call for proposals to rule them all. So you can propose something, and then it will be funneled to the appropriate unit. So we're trying to make it less confusing for people because it's totally bonkers.
Yeah.
I also wanted to just mention,
as a, so I, everybody has a different way of getting their funding to come here. And yes, I waited tables for my first two conferences that I went to and had a good time doing that. But the other ways that you get funding is making a justification statement to your boss. And one of the things I do like about those types of programming that if we just stuck to the theme may not make it into the conference, right? That it would just be centered around this whole theme, that make case making to come to the conference. I have a very specific example. That one of the most successful, awesome conferences I went to besides this one in Las Vegas was, sorry, I'm just kidding. Those are just mine. I'm being a brat. No, all of them are great. But one of the best conferences I went to was Performance, which was in Minnesota. And it was very hard for a lot of people they were very concerned about case making because as the dean was like, we don't have any performance dance collection. It's the first thing they thought about. And it was really great that a lot of people told me they were making cases based on some of the workshops, some of the seminars. So there's a lot of things. So thank you so much for that feedback.
So, sorry, this is what I was actually going to say, your comment about RBM really struck me because I think it was one of those things about, that's just, I don't think about RBM that much, and that's just kind of how it always has been. And so to have someone with fresh eyes look at the organization and say, wait, why isn't RBMS and RBM more integrated, that is very insightful. But a piece of good news, for the first time ever after I spoke at this RBMS, the editor came up afterward. So there was like active outreach to speakers, got a business card, said consider submitting. I mean, it's a small step, but maybe one in the right direction. And then final thing, sure. This reminded me of an idea I've had, and I don't know who to bring it to, but when I want to go see previous presentations that have happened at RBMS, and I have to click through to every separate program website, and then click on the day, right? Can we have some centralized bibliography on an HTML page, or like a index, or a very simple database? I mean, is this a grad student research project? Like, can we
put out an APB for that list and hold on?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. And who? I don't want to do it. So who do I send that idea to?
No, we're looking. I think they have
that. There is one. Okay.
Jennifer Sheehan can take that from you when you're done.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then see like one list of all presentations in one place.
Yep. John's looking for it. Because I just sent that to someone not that long ago too. But you know what? You can't find it. It's an access problem, right? So we're going to fix that. Jennifer.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Sheehan. I'm the past editor of RBM. So I think it's great what Richard is doing. I think he's going to take the journal in all sorts of exciting directions. I know I can say it's sort of my fault that we weren't doing the pre-conference issues anymore, kind of for the reasons that we had been talking about. We have such a small profession with so few outlets for people to present and publish. I felt like doing that was sort of allowing people to double dip. And, you present at the conference and then, you can also do a publication. So I told people we're happy to have your submissions as long as you're adding something else.
I was thinking not making it a conference based RBM. I just meant RBM taking advantage of the conference more visibly.
Yeah.
And I think you have done that.
Not at all. I will say, though, please submit. I know everyone gets all intimidated, but, Richard's great. He's happy to work with you. The journal doesn't get as many submissions as you might think it does, mm-hmm. and is always looking for new voices. So it is really confusing that we're not an RBMS journal, which makes no sense and makes organizational things a little difficult. But please do. That's all I can say. Yeah.
Curtis has one. Thank you, Jennifer. Curtis, he's right behind you.
Thanks. A lot of things have been said. I'm going to touch just on several things briefly. In terms of the virtual participation, technology has been a problem in terms of having it work. I'll just say that. I'm hell-bent on having it work well this time for virtual participation, but Athena can tell you how many emails that has entailed, try to make sure people will be able to hear when they're at home. So that has been the most frustrating thing, I would say, of being a chair so far of this committee, has been that technological aspect. The second thing I will say, in terms of the structure of this organization, I was able to get involved early mostly because I met some nice people who invited me in. And the first one was Beth Jo Friano, I'd say, the first time I went to the diversity committee. And I've met good ones since then, and that's wonderful. But like listening to what Cecily said a little while ago, and I remember I met you 2 years ago at the Minnesota Institute, right? And I took the Born Digital workshop the other day because of your advice from the Minnesota Institute a couple years ago. But anyway, I think we should have be more thoughtful about multiple ways of addressing what people are not going to understand, like what is a seminar, for example, and how it's different from what you might think a seminar is from graduate school. Multiple ways of anticipating and addressing that. I'm thinking maybe in the diversity committee we could have a section of our meeting just explain, this is how the section works, and this is what this term means, because it's, you know, it really, and I realized a couple years ago I was feeling, oh, I'm starting to figure it out now, and that means that there's something, you know, good about me, which isn't how it should work. Right. You know, it shouldn't be like a labyrinth you have to get through to prove you deserve to be here.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Lynn, could you pass it up to Lynn, please? I think she has a response.
I do have a response and a suggestion.
Sure.
I want us to steal an idea from science fiction conventions. Bear with me.
You're kind of well known in that world.
I am.
Yeah,
I thought so. One of the things that has worked incredibly well for helping to bring new folks into the community, we already do the first-time attendee labels that people can put on their badges. I think that it would be really helpful to encourage some of our longer-term members who understand the ins and outs of the section but are not necessarily on exec to wear a label that says something along the lines of ambassador or ask me questions or things like that, so that there is essentially the accessible and visible, it's okay to talk to me and ask me questions people, so that there's a handful of people who are specifically designated for that in the same way that we've designated hosts for restaurant night.
Correct. That's beautiful. What a great idea.
Let's steal that, please.
Deacons for RBMS.
Deacons, ambassadors.
Yes.
Like readers.
All right. I want to be cognizant of a few more minutes so that you all can, but I want to ask, Sarah Lowe, I forgot about you. I made promises I can't keep.
I'm giving you the power of my back.
Yes.
I'm giving you the power of my back.
So I just wanted to follow up again on the virtual thing from way back ago. But we went rogue, and I just set up a virtual meeting for us because I have access to Zoom through my institution. Zoom's actually a pretty decent product if anyone else is able to do that. So until we're able to do a more broad, controlled option. But the other thing I was thinking of was, because I was going to set it up for this meeting on Saturday, and I sent it out just to our members, but that doesn't include all of the people who might want to contribute, who would be able to come if they're at ALA, but who can't because there's no virtual option and they can't get the funding. And so it's just this like vicious cycle of like, I can't get there, I can't contribute, they don't know who I am, I'm never going to get on the committee kind of thing. So if we're able to solve it, is there a way to like say anybody can hop in on this whatever meeting? And I'm happy to do it for security and just send out a link on the listserv and say, if you want to zoom into the security committee meeting, I'll have my laptop set up. But that's just because I have it, and I know that not everybody can do that, but it's just something that we have done in the past. So,
I like that idea a lot, and I don't have any, the only experience, I guess we always remember our negative experiences, like bad restaurants or something. But I'm hearkening back to when I was at SAA for Dismantling White Supremacy, session where the speaker was tweeted about, and she did great things, and then got really, really harassed by many, many people on Twitter to the point where it was becoming just alarming. And I can tell you more of that story later. But I think, you know, if we're going to open it to the world, you know, I just want to make sure.
No, I just meant like RBMS.
I just want to make sure, because I'm like students, you know, anyone, right? But just if once we do that, that we have some best practices in place for when people do log on, like the kinds of
what this, the goal of this meeting is, and we will table topics that might move us out of the scope so that we can say, I'm just making, but I love this idea a lot. I just want to feel like you feel comfortable and everyone in that room feels comfortable with what they're saying and being talked about. There isn't some random person misinterpreting them and pushing it out somewhere else.
Well, especially with security when we can be talking about our
Correct.
Institutions.
And that's what I was thinking about, like, oh, did you hear that Penn State lost that photograph or something like that.
And for instance, Zoom has great I don't work for Zoom, but I love it. It has great capabilities that you can mute everyone upon entering the room and then selectively unmute them, so you can have committee members be unmuted and everyone else can see and listen what's going on, but they don't interfere.
And you can call in video, and you just have a link. You don't have to download. And you can record, yeah. I also don't work for Zoom, but...
I don't either. I work for the Chicken Little. Everything's going to be a bad restaurant. No, I'm sorry. I'd like to yield the closing to my colleague, Shannon Zuppel.
Oh, I didn't know that was happening.
I love catching her.
I didn't know that was happening, so I'm thinking quickly. Some of the things that I'm going to be bringing forth to the executive committee, and I want to talk more with RBMS membership about, and some of the things I'd like to focus on is continuing the strategic thinking and action plan process that we've started already with a template in place, so it feels a little less daunting. Communications is another issue. Athena and John are actually going to work on updating our manual, RBMS manual, which has not been updated in, I don't know, years. So this is great. This is great. So we're going to be working on communications and documentation. So communications out to the membership and potential membership, not just people who are on committees. As Liz noted and earlier, Beth and Liz and Heather have already sort of generally reached out on the RBMS listserv to folks saying, get in touch with us, we're your members at large, and then having that really amazing town hall meeting. This is something that we tried to do when Athena and I were members at large, actually, and it for a variety of reasons, it didn't work out, but we had proposed it. So I'm really excited to see this going forward and happening in large part to people like Liz and Beth and Heather Smedberg, who's not here, who are really pushing to make things better and to be more available and more sharing of what we know. You know, we're memory workers. This is our job, and we have this really weird oral culture in RBMS that's not helpful. So we're going to work on making it better, documenting what we do and sharing that going forward. It's going to just make it, I think, a little more transparent and helpful to everybody. I hope that's the intention. RBMS scholarships is something that's really important to me and continues to be. I want to look at if we have the capacity to provide scholarships for second-time attendees as well as first-time attendees to bring more people in and people back, because you come once and you like it and then you don't have funding, and what are you supposed to do? That's a big question I have. I also want to explore the possibility of providing people with ACRL RBMS membership when we get them a scholarship to attend, so they don't have to take a chance on us and already be ACRL RBMS members to attend. I think these are all really important things that we need to really think about, and the scholarships committee is the new chairs, Katie Henningsen and Elspeth Healy, are on board thinking about that too. So I'm really excited about that. And then finally, I think one of the things that's most important here is we need to be thinking about diversity, equity, representation across the section. It's not just the job of the diversity committee, it's the job of all of us in everything that we do and everything that we're thinking about. So I really want it to be sort of embedded in all of the work that we're doing. And, you know, the diversity committee is filled with these wonderful people that work really hard and do great things. And they can be sort of consultants, you know, to the rest of the deacons, to the rest of the section. But it's all of our responsibility. It's not just Curtis and Danielle's responsibility to figure this out. So I really think we need to think hard and long about how we can do better and do more in that area, even though we've already done, but we need to do more. Yeah, so I think that's kind of where I am in terms of what I'm thinking about
as I'm coming in to take over the chair position after this amazing gal and this amazing guy over here. So that's what I'm thinking about. I'm really all for transparency and sharing what I'm thinking. I love feedback. You know, this isn't my section, it's our section. So this is what I'm thinking about. That doesn't mean that it's the right way to go. The executive committee, we haven't had a chance to talk about this yet, the rest of the membership. So, you know, let me know what you think, share, talk to us, and we'll figure this out and we'll improve.
Thank you.
That is one final thought.